See, well, here's where we were.
I put him in the hotel.
With 50%. Here's where we are. But somehow that was...
I could have picked it up and cut and paste the wrong form.
Are we being good on here? Yeah, kindergarten was easy to deal with, though.
Copy Excel. We straddle the table leg. It's the kids' table.
I'm so tired.
I think I can do this.
Do you want me to get Jane to sit there?
Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to the City of Morro Bay Tourism Business Improvement District Advisory Board meeting. Today is Thursday, June 14th. I would like to note Joan is a few minutes late, so I'm going to start the meeting, and she will arrive in here shortly. So I'd like to call the meeting to order. And do we have any public comment? See nobody in the audience today, which is a rarity. I will close public comment and then go to board announcements. Are there any board announcements? No. We have the Oyster Festival this weekend, so everybody come out and enjoy the Oyster Festival this Saturday down at the Morro Bay Golf Course. Also today is Flag Day. Everybody who's opening their businesses this morning, if you're watching, put your flags out. Oh, and graduation. Mm-hmm. Today is San Luis Unified School District. I know everybody's graduating today, last day of school. So get ready for summer. If you haven't signed your kids up for the parks program here, Morro Bay Parks and Recs runs a great summer program. Sign your kids up. I think the last day for registration is this Friday. Any other board announcements? Okay, we'll move on to approval of the minutes. Does anyone have... Everyone had a chance to review the minutes from the last meeting. Is there a motion to approve?
I glanced them over, and I'll make a motion. We approve the minutes.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
So moved. The minutes for the May 10th, 2012 meeting have been approved. We will now move on to unfinished business. We have a report from the Budget Subcommittee on Marketing Contract Audit Results for the 6 months of fiscal year, and I'll turn that over to Karen.
The Budget Subcommittee did meet with the City Council and City Administrator, and BCA, our Account Manager Sherry, and Dave Cox, and we reviewed our concerns with some of the billings. I think at this point what we're going to do is take a closer look at our contracts going forward, and we may go back and revisit some of the monthly billings that we've already audited, and there may be a few items that we're billing correctly that we will drill back down on and resubmit to BCA for credit. I think everybody was pleased to the extent that we're now kind of clarifying where we all stand with this. So going forward, we'll know what we need to budget for BCA. I think with our new organizational plan for marketing, that it'll be much easier for BCA in terms of account management. And that's actually reflected in our budget going forward. So, does anybody have any questions?
I have no questions. I just have a comment, and that is, I know we have annual stakeholders meetings, and I think because of everything that's been going on, it's very important that we start thinking about having either biannual or quarterly stakeholder meetings, especially when there's now a proposed new budget, and we need input from our stakeholders if they want to come. So I would like us to think about that as a board. We have new budget items. We have bylaws for something that might come into play. We have, you know, DOT, et cetera, et cetera. We need the stakeholders to be informed.
I agree. I think it doesn't have to be a full-on lunch either. It can just be a coffee time, you know, an hour and a half or something, just to kind of get their input. I think that they would feel more part of the whole process as well.
I have a quick comment. We have discussed doing a recap for all the stakeholders of the 2011-2012 fiscal year, so that might fit in perfectly. That's what we do with most of our clients. We do a recap and then, you know, go forward what we're looking for the next fiscal year. So it would probably be a great idea to do it this summer or as soon as we can.
When do you think the recap will be completed? Like in August, maybe?
As far as budget?
Yeah.
Yes, definitely, the 1st of August.
Yeah, I was going to say, for the hoteliers, it'd probably be better to do something maybe right after summer. You know, where are we at on the BID login portion of the website? Do we have all of that? Do we have our minutes up there and our agendas on there?
Yeah, the BID login is accessible to anybody, actually, and it's got all of the agendas, minutes. It has the ads that have run.
Just update them. And so if we can choose a date in maybe September. We can put that on there also.
So, Andrea, would this be something that's considered new business, or is this something, could we pick a date now? And
good morning. I think you're fine to look at a date now.
So maybe sometime in September, I don't know if everybody wants to open up their calendars and look at a date. And I think you're right. We could just do an hour and a half informational, and we could find a location to... Oh, you mean like right after our meeting?
Yeah.
How does everybody feel about that? Does that push
just
for a long day?
Here, you know?
It pushes, right. For me, I think that's tougher because I have business to do. So when I'm in a meeting all day and then have to go to another meeting, that makes it really tough.
Not available from the 14th to the 28th. So if we could make it the first half of the month, either Wednesday in the first half of the month, that'd be great. Or
so what about
other days? Or
what if we do? What if we do September 5th, which is a Wednesday? We do it from 9 to 10:30. The end.
I think that's perfect. Okay, so Wednesday, September 5th, from 9 to 10:30. A.M. A location to be determined.
Well, if Andrea or if we can find out a place, let's just find it out.
No.
Okay.
You know, the
but
La
I mean,
Serena
you'll be able
has,
to let us
oh,
know
if
where,
we're doing
right?
9 to 10:30. I can't do it at the breakfast room.
The past stakeholders' meetings have not been on city property. We certainly can, but I will. Maybe we'll talk off about the specifics.
Okay. So let's right now tentatively put September 5th. Let's not put a time on that because if we were going to say do it at my breakfast room, which is something that would be free to us, it would need to be done at more like the 12 o'clock hour because we have breakfast served there till 10:30. So I couldn't do any meeting till after 11. So let's just say September 5th and then we'll do a location and time to be determined based on that location.
Okay. Any other
questions about the report on the audit before we move forward? Okay. See none. I'm going to move to monthly reports, and I'll turn it over to Sherry Clark for BCA's ad agency report.
Thank you. Okay. We are moving right along. This is basically the marketing presentation for May of 2012. There are some ads and press releases that hit in June as well, but it's basically a recap of May. We just ended our Sunset.com banner ad campaign, which worked very well. We ran off and on from October through May of this year. We also sponsored a couple of their travel newsletters, which performed very well. And they ran for about the last 6 weeks, ran the Central Coast Oyster Festival on those banner ads. They're coming off tomorrow. So they'll, you know, we're actually, they're off because this has ended. We also have a July newsletter sponsorship with visitcalifornia.com that's going out in July. So couple of good travel newsletters that are going out to opt-in viewers. This is TripAdvisor, our sponsorship page, which goes all the way through October of this year. I'm in negotiations right now with TripAdvisor for some of their mobile apps and mobile advertising campaigns. I feel like it's really important to stay on some of these review sites, especially during the high season. That's when people are looking and planning. So I've got a proposal in front of me, which I'll be running by the Budget Committee very soon, and hoping to get off the ground with that quickly. LATimes.com has been extremely active. We've been advertising. Oops, I need to click on it. We've been doing some of their daily blogs, their travel and deals blogs. We've been doing their travel blog. We've also been doing some behavioral targeting, just banner advertising with LATimes.com. We sponsored their getaway newsletter the week of May 9th. And everything's been performing very well. This runs all the way through June 30th, so right into some good tourism months for Morro Bay.
When did that one start?
LATimes.com, we did mainly e-blast from fall and starting in March, started doing this very targeted banner ad campaign. They had so many people viewing it, and they were just, you know, running out of inventory, basically. But we're back on as of 6/1, and it is going very well. Again, we put the Central Coast Oyster Festival moniker on this. It's ending tomorrow. And, they've just really had some great success with the iPhone app and the iPad, and because of the high traffic, they've extended it to the Contra Costa Times.com, SiliconValley.com, and InsideBayArea.com. So there's some really, you know, there's some niche marketing there. Those papers are, and online products are fairly small, but I think it's an area that we really want to target. This is the Slow BCB ad that we're contracted all the way through June of 2013. This is a good click-through performer for us from the county, Slow County site. This is our June e-blast that we had a little controversy on. This is our regular e-blast that we send out to about 10,000 people that have signed up for morrobay.org, that kind of thing. I think about 10 minutes after we sent this e-blast out, we had a call. Joan actually fielded a call from somebody complaining about the dog off-leash on the beach. Turns out that the gentleman is a CBS anchor in Fresno. So we, Joan talked him off the ledge a little bit. I called him the next day, and he blogged about it. It was very interesting. But in his blog, the first paragraph of his blog, he was like, you need to see this new website, but you can't take dogs on Morro Bay beaches. So it was interesting. He wants us to feed him some more features, and, you know, he is on the CBS affiliate in Fresno. So anyway, we loved the picture. We just didn't really think it out far enough with the dog. And if we use it in the future, we're going to airbrush that dog out of there.
Turn it into a horse.
Exactly. I know. That's a good point. Savor the Central Coast is heating up. They did their whole May was a very targeted effort to get locals to sign up for some discounted tickets for Savor. I just had a conference call with a lot of the TBIDs and CVBs for all of the PR and social media that Savor is planning. They've sent a whole calendar of social media posts that we can use on our website, which we will do specifically for the Morro Bay tours and events, and then to drive ticket sales to Savor.
So they seem to be really on top of it. The ticket sales are up. They're saying that they're where they were in July last year as of May 31st. So I think they really have some good, they've got a good PR firm, in people in LA and San Francisco working for them that seem very astute. So I think that's going to be a good success. This is our Hearst Castle bus wrap, and we submitted the artwork, and they are busily trying to wrap 16 buses. They're hoping that the buses will roll out on July 1st. So you're just looking at the right side, the left side, the front, and the back of the bus. So I think that'll be exciting, and that's a five-year commitment. Those buses will be wrapped as long as the wrap holds up for that long. So this is just some press. We had tons of press in May. A lot of it was, this was from the Outdoor Writers Conference, and it showed up in the Chronicle just a couple days after that conference went through Morro Bay, just highlighting all of the natural, you know, activities and nature, hiking, kayaking, boating, that kind of thing. So it was a really good article that showed up on the Chronicle and online at SF Gate. This is an article that was in the Mustang Daily, which I thought was very interesting, and it hit, I'm pretty sure it hit in their open house edition, which was, you know, obviously a very busy month with, or weekend with parents and prospective students there. They're just doing the sub-tour, what is it, subsea tours and guides, and so she just wrote a really great article about what a great day it was in Morro Bay and how wonderful the tour was. So thought that was good Cal Poly activity. The Oyster Festival, I think there were three press releases sent out, one from Options, one from the festival itself, and then BCA did one. It exploded all over the place. It was, this is the Sacramento Bee. It was in the San Francisco Chronicle. I think we've got a couple more that show up. And it's very, they're giving away tickets on all the radio stations right now, and it's just, you hear about it every 10 minutes. So I just touched base with Jacqueline yesterday, knowing that she's probably out of her mind busy. So I haven't heard back, but just wanted to kind of get a feel for how things were going. But it's I think it's going to be a great event. So that was news releases. You know, we had great luck with Morro Bay 4th hitting some local papers and some Valley papers as well. The Morro Bay Triathlon was written up in a sports destination marketing magazine. I've been talking to that magazine quite a bit for advertising to get sports events to come to Morro Bay. Haven't made a deal quite yet, but they did do some editorial for the triathlon. And then we're working on a Morro Bay success press release, just talking about TOT, all the press that Morro Bay is experiencing, the heightened awareness for the tourism in Morro Bay, and also launching the new website. So it's kind of just a feel-good Morro Bay press release that's going out today, actually. And then we're going to do a follow-up on the Oyster Festival that'll go out the 20th of June. And then, as I mentioned, we're doing some press releases for the Morro Bay tours, kind of along the lines of the VCB exposure for Saver. This is the Morro Bay website. We've talked a little bit about it. We have been doing some social media campaigns to get people to go to the website. So we've been posting on Facebook, and I think we got about 37 responses to the website, just beautiful, love it, that kind of thing, on Facebook. Twitter and Pinterest also, people are kind of pinning things that are seeing on the site that they like. So still, you know, as we mentioned, there's little glitches that come up, and we're working through them, and that'll happen for the next 100 years. So that's what a website's all about. Analytics. We are up slightly for website visits, and we're obviously monitoring very closely. This is May, so the website really launched May 31st to June 1st, depending on what platform you were on. So I think next month is going to be very interesting to see how the new website performs as far as visitors. Total page views are up a little over 14%, so people are spending some time on the site, which is good. And 71% new visitors, and then the remainder returning visitors. We've seen this trend happen for the last couple of months, that smartphone visits are going down, and on the opposite end of that, smart device visitors are going way up. We've looked at research for that, and it's just that people are feeling more and more comfortable taking their iPads and different kinds of pads with them. And I actually saw somebody taking pictures with their iPad the other day, which I thought was quite interesting. So anyway, all in all, we're very active on iPad apps and iPhone apps, mobile advertising. So I think we're in good position to appeal to all these people. These are the top 10 referring URLs, so we're still getting tons of referrals from the city. Yes, thank you. LATimes.com rose dramatically in the last couple months, and it's because of our concerted efforts with them. MoraDunes.com generally shows up on the list. San Luis Obispo County.com has finally gotten back up on the list and in the top five, which is what we wanted to see. And then some various, sunset.com, Yahoo, and a couple of them that I'm not actually sure what it's on.
Travel National Geographic, did that say travelnationalgeographic.com right there? Can you tell me, did we run an ad or a banner ad, or did CPC, it's just could be something lingering there? A mention of Morro Bay, maybe? I don't know.
I'm wondering if there's some editorial that may have happened. And you have advertised in Travel National Geographic in the past, but we have not done any this fiscal year. We haven't done any print or banner advertising with them. But it does show up quite frequently. Top referring cities. These are kind of moving around, but looking at some good LA, San Francisco, San Jose populations. We added the map. It's not showing up very much on the. Joan and I talked a little bit about showing the Google map, which actually shows you penetration. You know, the big San Luis Obispo is that big orange ball sort of in the middle of the coast, and then it goes. But we'll work on colors and design for that, because it's you can't tell anything. It looks like somebody blowing bubbles. The lodging report is up 21%, and this is for May. I noted when I sent the analytics out that we had some problems getting the by hotel clicks, the historical data, because we changed from the old site to the website to the new site. So we're working on that, and but you'll notice in your analytics that you don't have a hotel by hotel click. And I think the only way around that for May is for individual hotels to look at what came from morrobay.org. But we should have that up and running next month. That's from the VCB.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at that analytic, it'll pull in other cities. So
okay,
I believe
right.
It's a county. But I'll check into that a little bit, because I would imagine Los Angeles is not L.A. County.
Right.
So I'll get a little bit
okay.
deeper into that. Okay, Jackrabbit clicks are down slightly, and that happens. They've explained it to me that when things get active during high season, the Jackrabbit clicks go down. So we expected that drop. This is TOT, the latest results for April, which we are up in revenue for TOT, down in occupancy by a percent. So looking still at a very steady good trend since December of 2011.
Sherry, on that TOT, just so everybody understands, you know, don't knock that 1% in April of 2011. There were five weekend segments, meaning there were five Friday Saturdays in April 2011. And in April 2012, we had four weekend segments, four Friday Saturday nights. And we are only off 1% in occupancy. That's a huge additional number of rooms to meet. Additionally, the TOT was up significantly, which means we made gains in how we drove revenue into the city, which is exciting news again. So don't be alarmed by that 1% drop year on year.
Yes, and we pulled, the county lags a little bit behind. I got the city-by-city for the county results, and Morro Bay is looking, I'll share that with you guys, looking very, very good as compared to many of the other cities and the whole county. So I think we've got a good elevating trend going here, and, you know, I'll keep getting those reports and providing them to you so you can see the comparison.
I was just going to say, so do you think you could email that out to us
yeah.
when you get it into some type of a matrix? That'd
yeah,
be great.
Definitely. They only do it by revenue, which is interesting, but it's still a good indicator for you to see every city. So I will definitely do that. Okay, this is added 50 new email addresses to your database, so you're almost at 9,500 for the database, and we send out monthly to this database with hotel specials and deals. 104 new Facebook likes, so that continues to grow. We're almost at the 3,500 mark for that. These are some Facebook posts on the car show. This is the new website that got so many likes and almost 40 comments on the website, and it's still up there. These are Twitter posts that we've been gathering, and lots of pictures and good comments. Jacqueline Delaney actually posted that picture for the Special Olympics run. And then this is Pinterest. If anybody goes on Pinterest, or we're opening an account for Morro Bay, probably early next week, there are hundreds of pictures on Pinterest without us even having an account. People just go, you know, anybody who does have an account, when they go to Morro Bay, they take pictures or they make comments, and we were astounded because at the beginning of the year, we were like, why would you use Pinterest for tourism? But it's whatever people love, and they love Morro Bay, so... So we're going to expound upon that and get it going a little bit stronger for the city. And then these are just some other newsletters that went out on the LATimes.com advertising. This was an Escapes screen capture that they sent us. And then this is one of their travel blogs and one of their getaway blogs. So Morro Bay showing up across the board on LA Times, which explains a lot of the added interest. And that is the marketing report for me. Any questions?
I have one question. And I think we already went through this, but with the travel coupon guide, I guess that there was a concern by one of the stakeholders because of the Q code that was on there, went to the travel coupon guide page, and the way that travel coupon blocked out the ad with even highlighting, you know, it looked as if we were putting our own Q code on there. So I think we need to be careful how we place ads and tell them in our agreement that they cannot alter them with their Q code.
Yeah, that was a wrestling match with that magazine. We saw some other when we were negotiating with them, we saw some other covers that had their QR code on it, and they slapped it all over the place.
Sure, what you have on the website is correct? Obviously not, because that one was incorrect. Yeah, Roadway Inn. Yeah, I had her call you. Good.
Sorry. Yes, we do cross-check. Well, I mean, initially when we did it, because we pulled all that information from the old site, so we went through it that way, and then Priscilla had called me and let me know that we needed to change it. So, but we definitely will, you know, keep monitoring that.
Didn't we set up some kind of portal in the website for... corrections or changes? As I recall, we had talked about that.
We had actually planned to have an administrator handle, like one from TBID at the time, way back. One was going to be from TBID, one was going to be from CPC, and one was going to be from the chamber. We discussed that, and the decision was made that BCA should continue to handle the updates and maintenance just because of all the changes that are going to be happening in the next 6 months. So there is not an administrator other than BCA, so the changes all have to be relayed to us, and we make them. And we try to do them once a week, you know, but if they're urgent, like the thing that came up yesterday, we'll do them right away.
And the information that you got the information was from the old website, so that was probably on there for quite some time.
First, I'm bad this morning. the first prototype. So, and I, you know, I don't know what happened with Roadway Inn because I've been in touch with Priscilla every month for her specials and deals, but this just came up. I don't know, you know, I'm not sure how long it was wrong up there, but it has been fixed. So,
good.
Yeah.
Well, at least we're moving forward on it. You know, it's hard to, I think, you know, it's hard when, and I'm sure you can understand this, it's tough when we get a stakeholder who picks up the phone and calls. We really want to make them happy, and so then that gets, you know, rolled through to you, and I know you really want to make, or UBCA wants to make all of them happy, too. We just have to make sure that we keep the line of communication open so that it goes both ways.
So I have another question. Okay. Right now we are in our cold season because of the fog, cooler to cool off, our cool off season, and it would be an opportune time to be placing banner ads in states that, such as Arizona, where people there are looking to cool off. We don't have one right now. And we spent money when, I think it was U.S. Airways, which airline was now doing direct flights, and we put an ad in, thank you. We spent that money, and now there's no follow-up to it. And I don't understand that. Also, I brought up the Palm Springs desert areas. People reseed there. Everybody looks to go away that play golf. I think we need to look at the forward in those areas and start branching out.
Yeah, that can easily be done. And certainly banner ads, I mean, we can turn them in 2 days. So
who gives you the directive on where to go?
It's generally, well, I mean, when we made the plan initially at the beginning of this fiscal year, we had definitely had cities and states called out. And it was, you know, Palm Springs was not one of them. Arizona was, and we've done some press in Arizona, but not any concentrated advertising other than the airlines that happened earlier last year.
Did you bring updated budgets?
Yes.
This year? Good.
Yes.
So we basically approve, when we approve the budget, where the ads are going to be called out for the year. And if we want to expand to Palm Springs, which could become, you know, a little bit further target drive market, we should be doing that with this year, with the 2012-2013 budget, calling out where we want that media attention to go. Because that's the time, definitely, to do it.
Couldn't we, though, if it's something that gets turned around quickly, I mean, couldn't we right now look at our contingency funds and see if it's something we would want to do this right now for July and August, June, July, and August?
Maybe contact the Palm Springs Chamber and see what their, or visitors, Tourism Bureau, and see what a banner ad would cost on their
web. I have already
or
done
something
that.
Like that.
We talked to, Jane talked to,
yeah,
the
I've
Desert
already done
Sun,
that.
And I talked to them as well, and we definitely have money in contingency. We have money left in the budget, and we're, you know, it's June 14th. The budget ends June 30th. So I think it's very doable.
On that? Yeah. So I think that's something we need to look at.
So you want it built into the 2012-2013
yes.
plan?
Yes.
Okay.
Where was the other area? There was
Arizona.
One other area. Arizona. Yeah, I think Arizona's another one that is huge. You have those direct flights coming in. That's another area I think we should probably start focusing on as well.
They have two direct flights a day, which can take 200 up around 260 to 280 passengers that come in. Those are two direct flights coming in from Arizona. And, you know, typically we have to reach them before they're flying in because obviously they're going to land and be staying somewhere. They're not going to just land and be up for grabs. Maybe not their in-flight. And part of that in-flight program that we did was, that was a VCB co-op that we did. And I think that portion of it was like $3,000, that in-flight, $3,000 or $4,000 of the 20.
And it was 28.5, I believe,
and that was
around
30. There was a bunch of other stuff that was built into that program, but it was a really got a, what I'm trying to say is for $4,000, it got a huge response. It was really good.
Yeah, and the other thing is, you know, people from Scottsdale and Phoenix drive to San Diego.
Oh, yeah,
it's just as
absolutely.
Easy for them to drive here.
That's
so
right.
Again, you know, you've got the same type of population in the Coachella Valley area as you do in the Phoenix, Arizona area, and people do drive. So
what I was trying to say was I don't think it's just about those two flights that are coming in. It's about the greater population of that area so that we can get them prior to them arriving here. So
and the only you know, comment that I have to make on that is we're showing response now, good response from Bay Area and Los Angeles with concentrated effort there. We're going to have a reduced destination marketing budget for our 2012-13 year. So I kind of question the thought of spreading out further and diluting our marketing dollars. So, you know, it's a good idea. I certainly understand where you're coming from, Jane, but I think it's something we need to talk about a little further.
I agree. I think that it is a thing for budget, but I also think that if we're going to cut places, we need to cut them, and we need to put the money in where it'll be effective. And it's not a year-round type of thing. It's a target marketing.
Well, is there a subcommittee that deals with BCA directly that they could maybe the budget committee?
As we make the budget?
Okay.
As we make the budget.
Something else to talk about.
Because the budget, you know, we don't have enough to talk about the budget.
Yeah, I would love to pull some numbers together for you for our next budget subcommittee and do it like that. Okay, we're going to go May, June in Palm Springs, September in Palm Springs. L.A., San Francisco are going to be more during the summer. Just put something together like that with some numbers behind it and see what we can do with the budget that we have. I think
that would be a great idea because our budget subcommittee did kind of a broad brush this year with our budget because we had a lot of new expenses and we didn't know exactly what we were working with dollar-wise. We know what we're working with now, so maybe to incorporate a more concise a marketing plan so that we can discuss it with the board might be a good idea.
I think we really need to do a lot more of that niche target marketing too instead of just so broad-based. I think that would be more beneficial.
Any more comments then? Good job. We'll look for that report and we'll bring it back to you at the July meeting all and then trade show subcommittee report. And I'm not sure how this really fell in there, but the Oyster Festival has kind of fallen into the trade show. And I sent kind of an email blast out to all of you because part of the what we approved for Oyster Festival funding was that we would have a little destination booth over there. And, you know, we have the giveaway tickets, trying to get people to sign up for the ultimate getaway. We have the surfboards and some, you know, posters and all those kinds of things. We may need some easels. I don't have any easels. And then what we don't have is bodies. And what we don't have, meaning bodies to man the booth, I do have some volunteers that are going to volunteer for the Oyster Festival, which I notified yesterday and said you may be zipping over to the tourism booth for an hour to meet and greet. Wear two hats, please. And additionally, I was looking to see if the board would mind if I went and, you know, bought some krill, saltwater taffy, and some little Morro Bay things to give away. We have two oyster knives left in the box for giveaways. That's it. We have given all those away to media and at Saver and everything, so we don't have any oyster knives. The Queen Mary coming. We have our numbers.
Did we end up with one tour or two?
We have one tour. It's on the Papagayo this year. So Len from the Papagayo is hosting the tour portion of it, and we'll be doing you know, an oyster shucking demonstration, all that stuff, done through the Oyster Company, and then back to Tognazzini's, where Mark puts on an incredible, incredible, incredible event. And that is the Oyster Tour this year. Anything else from anyone on?
How many people could Papagayo handle?
Is Papagayo can number? Handle 50, but Tognazzini's cannot.
Okay.
So we are somewhere in between that number, because we will have press additionally on there. So I don't have an exact number for you with press, but I can bring that back to you or shoot it out to the board if they want it. And then anything else from trade show? No? Okay. And website subcommittee report. I think Sherry pretty much covered it. Website's live. We're working through some, you know, it's... We have to be patient. It's always going to be a living, breathing thing, and it's going to change, and it's going to get a haircut and a facelift sometimes. But it looks good. It's beautiful. It's functional. The hotels have nice placement. They rotate, and we're moving forward. I think we're really moving forward. No packaging subcommittee report. Creative subcommittee, did anybody want to touch on anything? We never sat and met. We did some emailing back and forth, but we never actually sat and met.
Oh, I do have a question. Have you had a chance to talk to, was it the road trip that I brought you the insert from? And
I did talk to Sunset. That was a Sunset publication, and we sent them what we sent to them, so they are supposed to get back to me and tell me. There was a sort of a purple line that went across the ad, and I looked at a couple of other copies, and it was there as well. So we'll see, and we're going to try to get some added value somewhere, maybe in August or September for the error.
The public relations FAM tour is coming in, and I sent you via email the itinerary for that. I trust everybody had an opportunity to look that over and see the hotels that were partnering, see the hotels that are partnering with the TBID besides stakeholders that are helping to move that forward. It was very popular. It was actually overbooked. We originally said that we wanted 8 media, and there were 12 respondents. So there was a little juggling that needed to be done, and we got that going on. And we had one fallout yesterday on a family emergency. So we did have one at the last minute fallout. But they will be arriving tomorrow, and the itinerary was passed to you and was passed to all the participants. Special thanks goes out to... very healthy list of people: the Embarcadero Inn, Masterpiece Inn, Best Western San Marcos, Days Inn, Estero Inn, the Chablis Cruises for hosting the welcome reception, the Galley Seafood Bar and Grill, Windows on the Water, John Carlos, I believe Tognazzini's Dockside also is now listed. Frankie and Lola's, Dutchman's, Giovanni's, Stack's Wine Bar, and the Central Coast Oyster Festival. And additionally, Farmers Kites and Surrey's is hosting some bicycles and some kiting. There's Central Coast Outdoors. It's going to be a very exciting event. Be ready. I'm hoping that there's going to be some great press written about everyone, and specifically about Morro Bay, because that's what it's about, lifting the destination. So thank you so much to all those businesses that have stepped up to help make this happen. Great partnership as we move forward through that. So that's it on that and budget subcommittee report. And I believe that I will just touch on the fact that we had our special meeting. We took our recommendations to City Council, and City Council discussed it. back and forth and came to a conclusion that they would split the money 50-50, split the $116,850 in half, and send half.
No, nowhere near what needs to come in, but they're ahead of where they were last year. Then they went over the TOT report for the county, and I would defer that to when we talk about TOT, because I had a few comments that I would add on that there.
Thank you, John. I did go to the CTTC meeting last night and have information here for all of you. We, you know, have now this year started paying the membership again, so I'm going to pass or have some divided and pass it each way. I wanted to bring you a couple of additional pieces of information besides their collateral, which is you can join as an individual hotel or business. And it's something that I think we should make our constituents aware of, because there's some really great information here. So I'm going to pass these to you also additionally. And something that I thought was really interesting when we go through our bylaws, I'm going to pass this to you. They have their major board that they have, which is their member board, like ours, just set up just like ours. And then additionally, they have these commissions, and they have a commission on membership, they have an international commission, marketing, external partners, and website. And what's really interesting is the marketing and external partners one brings in a bunch of really different voices, and the web and social media one especially. They've got some really forward-thinking people talking about marketing and marketing the destination as a whole, and I think we could find that kind of cohesiveness in our own community as we move forward with some of the tourism changes. So I'm just going to pass those out to you so you can see those too. And also, additionally, in case you want to contact any of those people, it's a great resource for you. So, passing that to you. And let's see.
Are there any? Do you think that there's any potential co-op possibilities with them going forward?
What's really wonderful is that Noreen Martin has been. I'm thrilled because she's really a great supporter of Morro Bay, and she has been added to their board to represent the Central Coast to the state of California, to visit California through the CTTC. And I was chatting with her last night about how we could get Morro Bay more prominently listed on the website. We're not listed under Central Coast Beaches. We had to tap down five times. I said, you know, I've been trying for 3 years. Before that, John Sorgenfrog tried. Sherry's been trying, and it's like it's falling on deaf ears. And she said, well, guess what? They really like the county website. They're going to start modeling it after that, and they've been asking her for more and more information, and she was going to start. She already sent me an email. She wanted to start. Oh, thank you. She wanted to start a line of communication to make sure that we were as well represented as we wanted to be on their website, and make sure that we had all the partnership opportunities that we wanted to get out of them, because it's a great way to leverage money. And they pay somebody to do their marketing in the UK, which is, you know, huge, because it just gives us that extra arm power. So, yes, Karen is your answer. No Craig, so, because I think he's out of town, right? Is he out of town, Andrea? Craig? Okay. There was a promotions report that was sent to us for file, and we'll just keep it for file unless anybody wants to discuss it.
I just have one question. I don't know if it goes under this. But and maybe it has to, I don't know where it goes. Andrea, you'll have to let me know. But I know in the past that we approved the slow VCB funds, right? And it included our hoteliers to be individually members. And at that meeting, we were supposed to be contacted by them and have a group meeting to set up our website in June, and it never happened.
June is
here and gone.
No, we have a meeting coming. We were working on setting a date.
Okay.
There were a couple of us who were working through it with them who have been out of town or indisposed due to, you know, other business matters, and we've gone back and forth, and there was a date set. We felt like it would be too close, and it's been moved to, it's going to be held at the Loss Arena. We have a place booked now, and it's going to be held when, Michelle?
I sent back, she wanted to do it June 19th, which was next week, and I thought that was not enough time to let everybody know about it, so I sent her back an email saying the last week of June, hoping she'd get back to me by the end of this week, or the second week of July. So I'm waiting to hear back from Brittany to get a firm date, but I thought 2 weeks' notice was better than giving our hoteliers like 4 days.
I agree, but at the same time, the websites are supposed to be up and running by July 1st.
So.
Well, I did shoot her, and that's she got a lot of response off that right away. So I think people are getting ready. They're expecting it to launch, so we're moving forward. We just haven't had the meeting yet due to time constraints. But it'll happen.
I mean, if you guys think that's enough notice to do next week, we could do... I just thought that was too short of a notice. I'm hoping that when I go back even today... I told her I'd love to know by Friday. I think I sent her the email Monday or Tuesday, so... Well, that's what's hard, is we're all going into this busy time, so... Hopefully we can get those forms and everything filled in.
Review of occupancy tax, because we don't have a... We'll accept the visitor center report for file. Yes, you have an occupancy tax report. I'm saying we'll accept the visitor center report for file and move to occupancy tax. Okay, here we go.
Andrea, here's one. I only have one copy.
Turning it over to John Myers. He has his quarterly occupancy tax report. I wasn't putting it on you, Andrea. I'm sorry. I apologize. Oh, sorry, Andrea. No. Oh, why do I need three? I don't need three.
I know we've got 11:30. There's people taking over the room at noon, so I know we have to move quickly here. I'll get them to go through the pages fairly quickly. First page. It looks kind of strange, and thinking about it a little bit, I noticed that on the Visit California website where this is posted, the April numbers are duplicated in the year-to-date numbers, which throw off all the changes, the percent changes quite a bit. So the first page turns out to be worthless because the information that was provided on the website is erroneous because it's all duplicated. So we don't have that, and I knew people look forward to the seasonal TOT report a lot, and I didn't want to disappoint anybody, so we have some other pages to fill in. If you go to the second page, go down to the second half, total lodging receipts. I thought this was kind of interesting. The top part is just motels. The bottom part is total lodging. I went back all the way to 2007 through 2012 and looked at total lodging revenues off the Susan Slayton reports. And it's very interesting. 2007 was our all-time record year for lodging receipts, just under $20 million. 2008 starts out first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, all turned in record quarters. And then the bottom falls out in the fourth quarter of 2008, which is recession time. And then I think it's kind of interesting from there to look at, if you just go left to right on the quarters, where we had record quarter, and then the bottom drops out in the first quarter to $7,069,000. Then it starts coming back, and the first quarter of this fiscal year at $7.6 million was an all-time record quarter. So you can, it really gives you a very interesting trend to see where we've been, where the bottom fell out, and how the rebuilding happens. Two comments on this. The T-bid, the first assessment was taken June of 2009. And so you can sort of almost see immediately after that things start, you know, the next year two quarters were better, the next year three quarters are better, and then looks like this year everything will be better. And last comment on this page, the $115,000 in the lower right-hand corner is the target. We need to hit $115,000 in May and June. Over all, I should say May and June, the 1,644 and the 2,022. I just pulled the last year across. So if those months combined are up $115,000, then 2012 will be an all-time record year for lodging revenues in Morro Bay. So I think that's, so there's a target to shoot for.
John, question. Total lodging receipts, does that mean, it's including like vacation rentals and trailer park?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, the first part is just motels. Okay. Second part is everything that's on Susan's report. And when council looks at TOT, they really look at the total number at the bottom. That's what they see. So that's, I think, the important one to look at.
Super exciting.
Next page, we had talked about, you know, the Morro Bay seasons and looking at ourselves by season. So here's the update. We haven't looked at this report for 6 months. So here's the update going into through the first quarter of third quarter of fiscal 2012, March of this year. And it's good. I mean, if you look winter season straight across, occupancy is trending up. ADR is way up from last year and exceeds 9 and 10, which were previous high years, and RevPAR follows the same suit there. We're up 6.2 in TOT. But of the big five, and I Atascadero and Arroyo Grande are pretty small in total numbers, of the big five, we're the lowest. And of the total county, we're still dragging behind in total county, which is showing TOT increase of 9.4%. So we're doing good, but we've got to step it up a little bit, I think. I will say that I did find an error in the Morro Bay numbers in this as reported by the county. So I can't represent 100% accuracy on the numbers provided. And then the last thing I did was went back to the sales tax reports and tried to do the same thing on this that we did with lodging revenues. Went back to 2007. We don't get as much detail on the sales tax reports in terms of, well, the detail is not as good in terms of actual numbers. We're taking these numbers off of charts instead of printed numbers. And what I used here was HDL uses service stations, restaurants, art, gift, and novelty stores as tourism-driven. And if you look at their charts, and I know you can't see this, but they're the businesses that have this kind of a very seasonal nature to their revenues. Same kind of thing, you know, all-time record was 2007 for sales tax. And this doesn't foot to the city, this foots to HDL's tourism-driven business. Sales tax held up through much of 2008, and it fell apart again in the fourth quarter of 2008. But what's interesting is it only fell apart in gas. And what happened was third quarter of 2008, national elections, gas prices plummeted. And so sales tax revenues to the city plummeted. So we went from $77,000 in the third quarter of the prior year to $48,000. And these are calendar years here. So the whole change in sales tax revenues was all gas price driven. If you look at restaurants, you just go from 2007 to 2011 or art and gift stores, they're all flat, basically, quarter to quarter. And what I was quite truthfully hoping to see is some sort of a correlation between TOT and sales tax. Now, what we looked at on the prior chart was lodging revenues, not taxes. And these are taxes. So I've got to do a little bit more work on this. You know, in TOT, you've got if you've got $20 million of lodging revenues, you've got $2 million of TOT. To generate $1 million worth of sales tax, you have to generate 10 times that, or 100 times that much, $100 million worth of sales to generate. So the detail in these numbers becomes a lot more significant.
I have a question too. Didn't the sales tax change? It went down. So wouldn't that make a little bit of a difference?
That goes to the state, but not what comes to the city.
Yeah,
so the entire amount of sales tax does not go to the city. We have to remember that with TOT, the entire TOT goes directly to the city. With sales tax, only 1% goes, and then we have the Measure Q fund, which takes
half a percent
of sales tax.
Or is it in court?
So it's 1.5 comes back to the city, 1% goes into the general fund, 0.5 goes into Measure Q. That it doesn't matter how the state tax flows and fluctuates. The 1% is constant to come back to the city.
And this is exclusive of Measure Q. This is just the 1%.
Okay.
You know, John, the other thing that did we take into account, for instance, the new the inventory of available overnight stay rentals that fluctuated because we had new hotels being built, we had more VBROs coming on, and like next year, if the state park goes down, you know, things like that, couldn't that affect what's going on in the TOT?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. As it relates to the report we're looking at right here, you know, I was trying to think of like wind
that equated for every parking space, the value, there was tax value in that because they figured that people that would park there would spend money. Do you know anything about that?
The only study I'm aware of is a parking management plan that might be included in that. It was done a while ago. I believe it's been updated. Other than that, I'm not aware of anything else that's been done.
It might be interesting to look at, because if we could make some correlation to that, you know, that's just another point of information.
I do have a question for Andrea. Andrea, on the TOT reports that we receive monthly, this one that we received and that turns into a year report, it lists the number of motel rooms, and I know that vacation rentals, with the collapse of the housing market, there were a lot of vacation rentals that went away because people could no longer afford their second homes, or you know, afford to keep them up as vacation rentals, and they were sold or whatever. I was wondering if there would be maybe a way to ask the city if they would consider adding the number of vacation rentals to this report, or the number of transient trailer spaces. And I don't know if they have a figure for that, number of transient trailer spaces. I know we have, like, we know how many parks we have, but do we know within those parks how many spaces are actually transient? Because a lot of them are not. And I don't know how easy that is to get or how horrible that is to get. It's just a question that popped into my mind.
I don't know the answer for the transient trailer. I can check. My guess is that we don't know the number, and it might be difficult. As you can see, we're having a difficult time just getting the hotel rooms that are available.
Right.
Vacation rentals, I believe we have a number, and I can check.
Thank you so much. Because that would be, if we had that added to our, because we're the only marketing board left now, and so we really need to pay attention to those numbers too, a little bit stronger, I think. And it's helpful, you know. John, very good work once again diving into this. Thank you so much for everything you do. I think that this gives us a better overall picture. Does anybody have any more questions for John before we move on? I don't know. I'm jumping now. Thank you, John. Thank you, John. Okay. Now we will move on to new business, and with new business we have discussion and approval of the bylaws for the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau 501c6. And so we will start off with that.
Chair Solo?
Yes.
I believe City Attorney Schultz was going to be here for that, so if you could skip ahead. I know he's in court this morning and he plans on coming. So
okay.
I think he wanted to be involved in that discussion.
So I think discussion and development of a mission statement for the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau. Does anybody that is
That is. It's already in the bylaws.
Pardon?
It's already part of the bylaws, isn't it?
We have our mission statement, which did get changed along the way somehow when we were having our joint meetings with CPC. Somehow the two mission statements kind of got merged and got pulled together. Having said that, our original mission statement was the first part of this, which is the Morro Bay Tourism Business Improvement District Advisory Board. Now it's advises the City Council on the administration, the use of the Morro Bay TBID assessment, but less than a year ago it was a little bit different than that. It was similar to the CPC. Basically what we are trying to do here today, let me focus us, is to get a mission statement going for the nonprofit board. And it's about the nonprofit board here today, not about the TBID. So we are trying to form the mission statement for the nonprofit board. And so I would take your comments if you have any. I would take your ideas if you had them. If you don't, I can throw a couple out.
Well, in reviewing the Articles of Incorporation, item B under the Articles of Incorporation is somewhat of a mission statement. It reads, the specific purpose of the corporation is to promote Morro Bay tourism and improve the condition of the tourism business environment through the development and operation of a tourism improvement district and other programs and initiatives to promote the common interests of the Morro Bay tourism businesses.
Yeah.
Continued discussion and adoption of the fiscal year 2012-2013 budget. So I started discussing that up in the budget, which was we're going to end up with 58,000. John redid it and inserted it and sent it to us. So, and John, did you print extra copies?
I think it was emailed.
Yeah, it was emailed last night.
Late last night.
Because, you know, there was a quick turnaround on all this based on the... I did. It was emailed last night, and it was a quick turnaround based on the fact that the City Council meeting occurred on Tuesday. So basically, it's very similar to the budget that we discussed on Tuesday. Hi, Rob. Welcome. We were just talking about you. It's very similar to the budget we discussed on Tuesday. The big difference is that instead of there being $41,000 there, there's $58,000 there, and it was all added back into promotions and marketing, and yes, John.
Yeah, there was, whoever did this made a mistake.
I don't know. Well, it was a quick turnaround.
Because whoever did it used the wrong form to copy from, and so a line was dropped. There's what was given to you is correct, with the exception of there was $25,000 that goes from TBID to the general fund to the visitor center in the first 6 months of fiscal 13, which is not included in here. It was included in the draft, and I copied and pasted the wrong thing, and I lost that when I copied and pasted. So the error on this means that basically we've got to take $25,000 out of destination marketing, which reduces that to $129,000, and move that back up into a transfer to the general fund of $25,000.
John,
I apologize for that.
Can we ask you if you would have time to do that in the next couple of days and then email that? Numbers to us.
I'll send it out this afternoon, absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
It's one entry that's got to be made.
And so this is basically what we're coming back to you with here today, is the base premise of what was approved of the general fund monies to come back to tourism.
this next year. So it's basically $58,000 that's coming back. Some of it's going to be spent on the billboard, and some, you know, some other things, and then we've inserted the rest into things like local promotions, including like local PR and local marketing. And then, and then the budget subcommittee is going to have to get together with Sherry this month in June, very soon, in order to get a full budget together with some of the recommendations that we've made, some of the ideas that have come out of even this meeting. So, and to get that back to you for your discussion or approval in July to begin the fiscal year.
And that's my question. So right now we're not approving the 2012-2013 budget, or we are?
No, we are seeing what the amount, we're not approving the marketing budget. What we're seeing here is what we know now is the amount of money that we have to work with.
Right.
Now we finally know what the amount of money is that we have to work with.
Okay.
That's it.
628.
Yeah.
I have a question. And I'm older now, so I have memory lapse.
Happy birthday.
So I have memory lapse. But I do recall that didn't we contribute money towards the general fund that was supposed to come back to us? Or CB something?
Not that I'm aware of.
Or a visitor center? We funded like $50,000 and we were only supposed to fund X amount of money.
Yes,
and
that came back to us.
It did come back.
$16,633 and that was corrected and did come back to us. It was placed into our marketing dollars this year.
Okay. And then that was this year. Did we also fund more this year?
No. What happened was when the TBID went from 2% to 3% in November of 2010, $50,000 was taken from our budget immediately for the visitor center. In 2011-2012, when we went to go make our budget, budget subcommittee realized that it wasn't a full year that we should have funded the visitor center. It should have been.
The budget subcommittee did a 6-month review.
Mm-hmm.
They have not done a second 6-month review.
And what did they find in the 6-month review?
That's what Karen was talking about earlier. That was on our unfinished business that we are still working with city staff and BCA.
Okay.
But the second 6 months has not fully been reviewed yet.
Yeah, and there's not a shortfall of $38,000.
No, we just had. Well, it's basically it's a decrease in cash, but if we're only getting 60-something thousand from
it's a decrease in cash in the visitor center column, but there is a surplus of cash of the same amount in the tourism bureau column. So in the right-hand side, it's a zero net. So that
basically, the visitor center shortfall comes out of our budget.
That's what I'm saying. So what we're doing is it's coming out of our budget rather than having, you know, money coming in to cover the $38,000. We're going to take it out of other line items to cover it, right? We have to decrease something to cover the $38,000.
No, because there's already a surplus of that amount in the tourism bureau. It's already been taken out.
Right, but what her point is that is still being coming out of the tourism bureau's budget.
Jane, keep in mind that this is a 6-month budget and it includes just under the visitor center over $42,000 in startup costs for renovation of whatever asset. Yeah, so I mean, I don't think that year after year marketing budget is going to be reduced by our taking over the visitor center, if that's where your concern is going. So,
you know, the first year, the startup.
The first year is going to come out of our budget.
Yep.
That's, right. I think, the point.
So, my question goes back to if in the first 6 months of the billings, if we found that maybe there was a discrepancy in billings
I don't think it's going to be that much.
Okay.
There may be
some money
recovered.
But where would we put that money if we get it back? Where would we put that money?
Back into marketing or wherever we chose.
Okay. It would be up to us.
It would be up to us, but...
Marketing.
Right.
Yeah, marketing, all that stuff. So where were we? I'm sorry. We were at...
We're on the budget conversation.
Yeah, we are on the budget conversation. So we were looking at
I just don't understand what the conversation... Are you just wanting us to give you budget, a direction of this
no.
budget?
What we're coming back to you with is the final number, finally.
Right.
Which you were there for.
Yeah.
But still, the final number, finally, we're coming back to you with. And approval to, you know, I guess... move ahead in this direction with these basic guidelines to give back to Sherry to go plug some, plug a marketing plan into these figures. We need to get moving with that. I mean, tomorrow is July in terms of planning. So I would look to the board to, you know, approve moving ahead with the basic premise of 628,000 so that we can start plugging a marketing plan into this. Is there a member of the board who wants to move that we move ahead with that? Go ahead.
Well, I just have a couple of questions.
Sure.
On the left-hand side, is that just a six-month visitor center from July 1st to December, correct?
That's from January through June.
Oh, January to June. So here's my question. Is the rent the $9,600 anticipated rent, does that include the TI improvements, or is that under the $42,000?
We have reviewed some assets with the city at this point.
Uh-huh.
We don't know exactly if the city's going to actually charge rent on any of these or if it's going to be a nominal lease. But we felt it prudent to at least plug some number in for rent if we did need to rent another building someplace.
Oh, no, I don't have a problem with that. That wasn't my question. My question was, let's say we don't accept any of that, and that's why we have the rent. We don't have TI costs in there. Or do we? Is it under another line item?
Can you clarify TI?
Tenant improvement.
Thank you.
We have startup costs of $42,500.
Yeah, is that what I'm
saying?
That's
what we had for tenant improvements.
That's what I said. Is that in there?
Exactly.
That was my
question. Tenant improvements.
Thank you.
So, is the board okay with moving forward with the $628,000 figure now, recognizing that not all of that is going to shift into marketing?
We can have. At this point, Sherry, go ahead and put together a detailed marketing placement of the 129.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And that's what we're talking about. 14,000 for artwork. Some of these things we know are going to be basically taken off of prior years with the Saver, VCB, Fulfillment, Jackrabbit. You know, they're kind of hard costs
mm-hmm.
that are going to stay the same. The billboard we're taking back, that's the Highway 1 billboard that the chamber has had in the past. So that's why that's come back in. Website, we'll have to see. I'm not sure. It's probably a little heavy for website maintenance at this point. But, you know, we don't know where we're going with the website in relationship to the chamber. So we left that a little bit heavy also.
So
and that's what we're doing with this budget. And then after this is approved, we can go back in and start drilling down on some of these line items.
All right. And so then in our July meeting, we'll be able to vote on our budget?
Our July meeting will be our budget that BCA presents for TBID marketing. That's the budget that we'll be approving there. As we move forward with the 501c6 and we set up all of these other things like the office,
mm-hmm.
the office staff.
And see what those actual costs are.
That all drills mm-hmm. down through this budget. The marketing budget now becomes a line item in here.
All right. Okay.
I want to just make sure it's clear. I think Right now, we're only talking about the revenue, and I think the revenue is 628, whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is still open, right? So the only thing we want to agree that this is the only revenue we're going to have, which is 628,000.
And remember that it's fluid. Not the 628 mm-hmm. number is going to be our number, but everything above that number is fluid.
Right.
It's a guideline.
All right. Well, I'll make a motion that we accept this basic structure of this budget and, you know, with continued discussion on different aspects of it, but this basic structure will be approved, or I make a motion and we approve it.
I'll second that motion.
Any further discussion on that?
I just have one quick question, clarification, and that is, we originally got the budget for $116,000 and semi dollars, which gave us, you know, a difference, needless to say, on the right-hand side. So can you just tell me which line item categories, just quickly, that you adjusted down to accommodate for the 628 from the original proposed budget? Just quickly.
I believe it was destination local advertising.
That's right.
Website. Billboard and community events.
Billboard would be adjusted down. That's a fixed cost. So everything.
It's that far right hand mm-hmm. column.
Everything.
That's what I want to know because there wasn't a heading up there.
Yeah.
But so that's 58,425. So everything we adjusted downwards 58,425.
Out of destination.
And that's why we have the 38,985 there to cover. And okay.
Yep.
So that's the area I wanted to see the impact. So it's all in marketing.
It's
absolutely.
All in, yeah, and we had James on your birthday. Unfortunately, you had to leave me. But happy birthday again. And we had made a motion there that the motion would be that if anything was reduced out of that 116,850, that it would come right out of that local destination marketing line.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Sorry we didn't give you that
information. Nope.
Okay, so there's a motion and a second on the table. Any more questions or discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None? Thank you. Okay. All right. And let's go back up to Rob on A. A discussion and approval of the bylaws for the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau 501c6. For that, I will turn it over to Mr. Schultz.
Good morning. From you are the draft bylaws for the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau.
Good morning again. In front of you are the draft bylaws for the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau. I would say that I did not draft these. These are being drafted by John Lambeth in Sacramento, who is an expert in the nonprofit. So he did the corporation of the bylaws. I really haven't had a real good chance to look at them. I don't know how the board feels and how much time you want to spend on them today. Certainly, you know, your mission statement's also on there, so that's one of the purpose and the mission I think need to really have a good look at. So I'll leave it up to the board on how they want to handle that, if they just want to, I can narrow it down into those focus issues and bring it back that way. I think that's how we did our last bylaws.
Okay, so let's go with the red line version because that makes us all work. Makes us all really look at it and know what we're really doing. And so to red line those and get them back to Rob in a fair amount of time for our next meeting. Let me pull the calendar.
Looking at the calendar, do you want to, because there's one issue, just we were looking at nine members versus we were looking to increase two board members on this board, correct?
We had discussed that if they had given us, interesting topic.
Right.
That's an interesting topic for us because
right.
we do have half funding and, you know, we don't even know if that general fund funding is going to exist for into eternity, right?
Right. It's probably, it has changed in the past, and I would assume it would change in the future depending on what happens
right.
with the city's budget.
I imagine us doing what CPC used to do, which was chatting with council once a year when that funding mechanism comes up and seeing what level they would be willing to support us at. I might make a suggestion that I would be willing to support continuing on with the board as it sits here, as the TBID board sits, and then adding additional spaces that we could appoint, taking that 501c6 to say a 9-member or 11-member, whatever this board wanted to do, and adding people in additionally that way. And I'm getting a no from the city attorney.
Right now, the way that the bylaws and articles are written, we can't make any amendments at all to this. This is then, so that's something, if you want a red line, that you have to make additions, because right now, the way this is written, this is a basically a city-directed 501. Is it a C3? A 501c3, it looks like, because it wasn't the 503. It was a 501c3. So, therefore, one of the big things is that you need to know that even though this is a 501c3, which should be a nonprofit with full power of the board, it's that's a, sitting it's there, a, it's not
a six,
that way.
A 501c6. And bylaws can be amended by a board of directors.
Well, so it's not in there.
Well, it's not in there yet.
But isn't this, isn't the one that, the copy that we were given here, this is for a C3, isn't it? Because the new board's going to be a C3.
Rob, C3 or six?
I mean, that's new board, the new.
Did we take the six and divide it?
I'm not sure. They were going back and forth of which one it would be, so I'll have to check to see which one it is. My understanding is that the you can have the ability to change your bylaws as long as they don't affect the principal item here, is that the board members of the nonprofit must be the same as the TBID, and the TBID advisory board is going to be elected by the city. So the city elects the TBID members, which automatically places them on your board. So you couldn't add to the board, you couldn't do that. But besides for that, you will be, this nonprofit could change the bylaws. Obviously, you could make that one change and say we now elect. I do see here a kind of, and I'll have to ask that of John, that's why when I'm going through it, I've got a lot of questions already for him. It says that the nonprofit can remove a board member. I think I would leave that in there and say they could remove someone for cause or without cause by a majority, but then they couldn't you couldn't elect their replacement. It would have to go back to the city council for that, because they have to be the same. But I have to work those things out. But my and I can ask that though. Mine is you are in charge of these bylaws because it's a nonprofit. They'll go to council to begin with. But you'll still have the ability to amend them as a nonprofit to anything other than that, who is your board members.
So if we want to increase our board member in the nonprofit, we have to amend our bylaws of the TBID to increase board members.
Exactly.
And I think a solution to this whole thing is, again, to keep the board the way the board is, and then to move forward looking at the structure that they have for the CCTC, which is to have these different tourism committees. And the committees are built of people who are outside of the main board, with a board member chairing each committee. So each board member takes a committee for 2 years or rotates through a committee, and it really allows for a larger gain of...
Except I thought we were getting away from... I think we were getting away from our subcommittees by hiring a director.
That's going on. I think that's really... part, I think, should be part of bylaw.
Well, we are back to the redlining conversation then with the bylaws, and
I'd like it.
Our next meeting is July 12th.
And if you could get all of your comments to me by July 1st, that would be perfect.
That's what I was trying to figure out. July 1st, Sunday, July 1st. Rob will be in the office waiting for them.
Mm-hmm. Now, okay, I have a question. Now, if we're going through this and we have a question, is it permissible to call one of our fellow board members and ask them a question?
You could do two, starting the conversation about, you know, who have you talked to about the bylaws. So three together would be less than a majority of your board.
Uh-huh.
And you could talk about, you have to just make certain that if you call up chair, you say, have you talked to anybody about the bylaws?
Oh, and ask
so,
her.
So there isn't that chain going on.
I got
where
you. Okay.
So we could group off in like groups of two and work together.
Absolutely, you could do that.
And one group of three.
Yeah. So you could do that. And just, you know, I'm sure, and like I said, either red lines or comments in the margins and all that, and then I can formalize all of those and bring it to you. I would also, and the one thing I just looked up because I wanted to start to compare it is I want to go through what our current bylaws are and see where things we put in that, because you spent time on that a tremendous amount of time. And one of your things that still has never been incorporated that we finally can now is you wanted the chair to be be a hotelier. And the council agreed with that, but we just never formalized that, so we need to formalize that in here. So that's one of the ones that I remembered. But there were other changes you made that we did incorporate last time that we have to make certain we get in here.
Well, we want to make sure we want to continue with the chair being a hotelier.
Yeah.
And that we want to continue with, I like the rotating chair.
And I mean,
that's great.
There's nothing that says you can't put in these bylaws, too, that it's a 7-member board, but it will increase to 9 if, in fact, the city provides X amount of dollars in general fund. So you could put it right in there to say this is what's going to happen if there's such amount. And then you're still with your original intent of increasing it to 9, but it only happens under certain circumstances, and if those circumstances don't happen, then it falls back to 7.
So the party of one, just step to the side. Everybody else, group off in twos. We will move forward with the bylaws due to Rob on Sunday, June 1st.
July 1st.
I'm sorry, Sunday, July 1st. That's right. That's why this is a 7-member board, so you can catch things like that. I'm going back in time. Sunday, July 1st, due to Rob. And, off we go.
Bylaws are public information, is that correct?
Yeah.
So we could go back and review bylaws of the counties or the cities or anybody else, like Slow City,
website.
PR, whatever,
you know,
of any of the
some
other.
Of them are on the website, some of them aren't, but if there's someone you want to get, I can get them for you.
Okay.
I mean, that's how I did our original one, was just looking at other ones. So.
Right. Okay, thank you.
And I went back, just so you know, as we move into the mission statement conversation, I went back and looked at all the mission statements for Slow VCB, for the CPC. I looked at the chambers. I looked at ours, the old ours, the new ours. And I put a bunch of them on into a Word document on my other computer. I can, if you want, I can shoot those to you as a basis for looking at mission statements.
Yes, because that mission statement will go right where your purpose is.
Right.
So that would be great if you could
send
that to everybody.
Yeah, because I was trying to research them a little bit. And
as a guideline.
Yeah, as a guideline, right. And I was going to look and see if I could get like Ventura's or Monterey's or a couple of other people. So I'll try and get that done. If not, I'll just shoot it to you the way it is, and you can look at those on your own. But the mission statement, I think we should do the very same thing, is to, let's do this. On mission statement, right into the July 1st meeting, we're going to bring it back as unfinished business. I'll shoot you those other mission statements, and we'll try and come together on July 1st to hammer one down, okay? Because we'll have nothing else to do the first week of July. The hotels are going to be packed. Now the presentation, and we're on to D now because we already did C. So presentation and discussion on the subcommittee recommendation for hiring process of the director of tourism. And with that, I shot you late last night a couple of emails. One was, let's look at the director of tourism job description first, if you wouldn't mind. And the subcommittee is Jane and Michelle and myself on this one. And
can you just make a statement that
it's off on some and not off on others?
Yeah.
So the correct job description that you're looking at is the one where it has no. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
So everybody's got the correct one in front of them. Okay. Good. And not the draft. Okay, so If you want to go line by line through it, we can. If you just want to spend a minute or two reading it over and see if you have any questions, I think that might work better. I mean, the only thing that I see on here that we may want to do, I'll let you look it over for just a moment first.
Was most of this taken from the workshop that was conducted? I think
most of this
that
was
taken the
one
that Johnny
from
conducted.
Multiple workshops that were conducted on the Director of Tourism. There were two workshops that were held on the Director of Tourism, plus plenty of public comment where there were notes taken. And so we just tried to drill down on what this person was doing. We assigned kind of a rough time frame out to the left of what they might be doing based on time management, because we wanted them to be able to, when we post this on a website when they're applying, we wanted them to be able to know roughly what their time management would be like, because who wants to work a job when they don't know what you expect from them in terms of timeline?
And the other thing that I think, and I don't know if anybody talked to Sherry about this, but we do want to, and we don't even need really Sherry to do this, but we want to create a website page separate so that somebody can apply for a job in the ad, and then to find out more, go right to that website page and see something like this, which will be a further explanation.
Yeah, so that'll be in the, that's in the ad, so she's right. That was our idea.
That's our intent.
So,
there's a minor thing on this flow chart, advertising agency and the Morro Bay director. There's some kind of a bridge between the two.
There should be a bridge between the two, but there wasn't at the workshop, so I left this how it came out of the workshop, but I agree with you, there should be a bridge there.
Yeah.
We should do another one.
So, okay, I can add a line in there. That's not a problem.
Something. What is she looking at right there?
Okay, that's not a problem.
The only thing I have is a two-page director of tourism. Is there another email?
There's... Hang on 1 second.
That might just say report.
One person at a time. Hang on, guys. It's a working meeting, but one person... Skills and abilities. Oh, the flowchart didn't show up in this?
Yeah, mine didn't. It didn't show up on mine. I only got two pages on mine.
You want to look at it on a hard copy?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Are you, are you a part of the
Here's team? Another one.
We're two groups in one.
Okay, so back up, I need to make a connection now. And I will do that.
I have a question on the first part here. Excuse me. Is the director of tourism, is he going to hire his, he or she going to hire their own staff? If they have a staff member? Okay. Now, because it doesn't really say that in this job description here, I don't think.
Well, it does say in there that...
It says that they set up and man a visitor center.
Right,
so
but is the visitor center separate from their, like if this person has their own staff member, that wouldn't be necessarily a visitor center employee, correct?
Well, I think there should be just a stating that they have to hire and, train.
Mm-hmm.
So forth. I think he doesn't mention anything.
You know, that
if they're
person.
Gonna have a staff, they got to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That person is going to create a budget for
You're
their needs
the
to do
prison.
All this
mm-hmm.
and bring it to us. We have our own budget, which I think you guys were on another committee to kind of do something. So now you have this to go back. But, that person needs to prepare. If you recall, we had. That can also be volunteer stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we had those people here from Morro Bay Beautiful that were very nice in stating that they would help in volunteering. So all that stuff will work together. We just need somebody to have the ability to do some of that.
Well, there's effectively we need a team of professionals like us.
All right. Well,
I think what the issue is.
It's on page 2.
Oh, I see. Okay, I got
you. See that?
I was just looking at that first job description part.
And correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't our big picture thing was the director of tourism would sit at the visitor center office and do their job out of that and then have their staff under them, correct?
And I can't imagine anybody applying for this job that is not going to be capable of managing employees because they realize that this isn't going to be something they can handle on their own.
Okay.
So it kind of follows that way.
I don't think you need it. It's spelled out right here under Morro Bay Visitor Center, the 15% timeline, what they have to do. I mean, the guy or girl can type their own letters, or they'll give it to one of the staff to do it. I mean,
I concur.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that there is a line between what the visitor center does and what the director of tourism does. And now, if somebody works in the visitor center under this director, can they do stuff for the visitor center and then do stuff for the director of tourism as well? Then go back and forth.
Right. Wasn't that the whole reason?
They will effectively lead a team of professionals.
All right. I'm good with that.
In all phases and all walks of life. Okay.
It goes a little bit into one of your other items, which is the contracts that are going to occur. And once the bylaws are done, the next thing that will happen will be that contract between the 501 and the city, and that has to do with your director of tourism money. That has to do with the $500,000. Following after that contract will be the contract between the city and the 501 for the visitor center. So that's a separate contract, and that'll describe in our contract what you're going to do for those funds for the visitor center. But there would be nothing to prevent the same person within your organization doing both pursuant to your employment agreement with that person. And your employment agreement between the nonprofit and this tourism, the city won't have anything to do with.
I think it would be really good for this board, for all of us. I know I've seen those contracts, but I don't know if the entire board has seen. I think we should all be reviewing the contracts that the city currently holds with the visitor center and with BCA, because I think those contracts will now be being made between the city and the new nonprofit. We need to be looking at those because we'll be in charge of that nonprofit.
Would it be possible for you to shoot those things? Thank you. We appreciate that.
Because we're basically fulfilling obligations, the contracts that the city is requesting. So we need to look at what those contracts are and what our job is to fulfill under those contracts.
I think this is a terrific job. This is really good. I think the one thing I would change was probably under the visitor center is reference the contract with the city that this person's going to be responsible to perform in conformance with the contract with the city. So we don't know all the terms that contract may have.
Yeah, job
but
performance per contract. Yeah. Is it with the city or with
no.
us? Yeah,
no.
It's
no.
not
it's
with the city.
It's still going to be with you.
Yeah.
We will contract. We will have the nonprofit will have two contracts with you, one for the TBID money and one for the visitor center. That's your two contracts. Then the nonprofit would have their own employment contract with this person, and you will have your own contract now with BCA or any other consultants that you have, you know, that you need.
So, Rob, what contract does the tourism board is going to have a contract with the city?
Two
contracts. Okay.
The first one that'll come right after we get done with the bylaws mm-hmm. will be the contract for the TBID money.
Okay.
Which is the marketing contract, correct?
That's the $500,000 that you get from the raising of the assessment that we collect that now will be passed directly on to you.
Can I make a suggestion? Maybe you and I could work on a flow chart with the contracts and we
sure.
can shoot it to the board as they look at the bylaws and whatnot. So mm-hmm. Would that be helpful to see a flow chart?
That would be great. I have another question.
I mean, I don't want to jump ahead. Just
no,
look at it. Really, there's only one for certain that we're going to enter into, and that's your T-bid for your T-bid money. I mean, I don't want to say it's not out of the realm, but you might get in this whole thing with the visitor center and decide you don't want to be the entity responsible for that, and it needs to be done by some other third party, and tell the city we don't want to undertake that for the amount of money that,
you know,
the city has.
You bring up to me, you bring up an excellent point, and I would really like the board to think about maybe
the operator is going to draft that back. When you do your contract with BCA, certainly he or someone else should review that. At that point in time, I think you'd be, for the amount of money he charges, you would be looking better off, unless it's just a real simple contract that you guys are capable of entering into. So, and at that point in time with a BCA contract, it's not with the city, there is no conflict with me in that issue, because it's, and I can help you with that, those issues, because there is no conflict there. It's between the 501c and BCA, and the city's not involved in it at all. If it's an employment contract that you want to look at between the nonprofit and an employer, it doesn't involve the city. The only one where there's a conflict is between the contract between you and us for the visitor center or for the T-bid money. There is a potential conflict, because I'm looking out first and foremost for the city.
So my question about that, I'm sorry, you guys, I want to quit. My question about this is, right now we have stakeholders, but they're not members, but they're doing specific funding. Okay? That's specific funding. So my question to you is, when that money goes into the 501c6, the bylaws are saying they're not members, so they don't all of a sudden have any stakeholder interest in the Bureau, and there's no specific funding anymore?
No, they're still stakeholders, there's still an assessment, there's still a T-bid advisory board. The money's collected by the city, and all we've done now is contract with a third party, which is this nonprofit, to run the day-to-day operations of it. That's the difference. The stakeholders can still go, and each year we'll still have the assessment, we'll still have the annual report, we'll still have to have a protest hearing. All the things that we have right now for those stakeholders still exist completely. The real change you'll see is that the T-bid meeting will be not every month like this. It could, we don't know where it will be at, but you'll still have the 72-hour requirements of the Brown Act. Your secretary will still have to take minutes. But from a city standpoint, we won't be here unless, you know, you need us for support from the city standpoint. So there's still stakeholders. It's just the third-party contract is with a nonprofit. Does that explain it at all? Did you get it?
Kind of not.
Okay.
I think I need, the artist in me needs a visual.
Okay.
I need to see the T-bid funds that mm-hmm. we pay as hoteliers goes to city gives them to T-bid or to the nonprofit?
Right, to the nonprofit, because right now we don't give it to T-Bid.
Okay.
It's
so
actually in the job description.
Okay. Yeah, but that's not why I'm asking these questions.
So, for example, right now our contract is with BCA, has to be with the city. It's not with T-Bid. You don't have the ability to contract with third parties. So the BCA contracts with the city. They send the invoices to the city. City pays them out of their own account, which is a separate assessment account where that money is set aside. Those bills, the BCA bills now, will not come to the city.
No. I understand all that.
Okay.
What I'm trying to visualize is that if the hoteliers band together and decided that they don't like what's going on, they want to get rid of their 3% assessment.
They'll still be able to do that every year.
Right. Okay, yeah. So with that, then there's no money for the city to give to the Bureau.
Right.
Okay, hold on. And then, but it wouldn't necessarily dissolve. Could that Bureau
go out and create its own assessment district, even if it was 1%, and privatize itself?
Yes.
That's what I want to know. Thank you.
We would, in the case of the nonprofit could still function without a contract from the city. Without
that's
an
what
assessment.
Trying to understand.
Could still go on.
Okay. Jane, there are in essence business districts set up like that for tourism in different entities. They take a considerably longer period of time to develop and form. And that's why we're trying to kind of circumvent when you're actually coming up with the same result of what we're doing here. We're kind of trying to circumvent that time frame.
Oh, no, I understand. I was just, I just want to make sure that all of a sudden there's still this living entity. You know, that the city is the one that decides who's going to be on the board and stuff like that. So how is that? You know, there's a lot of conflicts. And those are some of the questions. Okay. I'll redline.
Okay.
The end.
So I do have a question regarding contracts. As I reviewed the city contract with our current visitor center holding contractor, there's very light conversation there regarding website ownership and the billboard. That conversation, in my mind, would have to be that contract with the billboard is non-transferable, so it's going to need to remain housed where it is. And it's my understanding from the council meeting on Tuesday night and what we put forward that we would then be willing to pick up the $8,000 for that billboard that's currently on Highway 1. What I would like to see, or what I think is going to need to happen, is as the visitor center shift occurs, the billboard and where the website is hosted the website is hosted at morrobay.org. So that morrobay.org domain name is not owned by the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau or by the CBID or by the city, from what I understand. So that's a conversation that I think is going to need to be opened by the city, because as we move forward and pay for those things, we've agreed to pay for those out of the general fund monies that come forward. And should those rates increase every year, or should there be an attempt to have those rates change, we need to make sure that we enter into this with a pass-through. And for me, it's important to make sure that it's not going to increase the outgoing flow of expenditure.
And I think that's going to all come back at this transition period, right? Because first off, we haven't agreed to pay for the billboard, technically.
Actually, it was in our motion. It was actually, I can pull our motions up, but no, you're right. We agreed for destination.
No, it was, it was local destination. And I just think there's going to be a lot of conversation about a lot of items that are to be like, well, whose responsibility does that fall on? Because you could have the other side of the coin saying, well, that's part of economic development. It's bringing business into the economy. It's bringing business into all of your, you know, a billboard isn't just tourism related. So I think there's going to be a lot of conversation, which is why I think hence we should review these contracts that the city currently holds. If this is something that the contracts are going to be with us now, or the new nonprofit, we need to look at all of those and figure out a little bit of who's on what responsibility, because to my understanding, they get 50% of the funding, we get 50%. Some of the things may fall under what they're still currently doing. So these are things that are going to have to all be addressed.
So, right. So we need to start opening that conversation, because it was clear at the budget subcommittee meeting that there was no longer a desire. The billboard is about an $8,000 cost a year, but the contract is not transferable, from what we understand. So those are all things that maybe we can discuss and try and nail down here in the next 60 days.
Because to my understanding, to the economic development, there is no current contract under that. So we as an advisory board to the city may need to look at the current contracts and give them advice as to what should fall, I mean, obviously there'll be bantering of who wants to take responsibility for what, but I think that there should be at least a dialogue and start of a conversation about those contracts.
So we are still on the subcommittee recommendation for hiring.
I'm trying to understand that one, and maybe Rob, maybe you could help. The billboard contract is between the chamber and the owners of the property, right?
Correct.
So it doesn't involve the city.
I mean, my comment to myself just a second ago is I've never seen that contract, but I certainly want to take a look at it and see about what the assignments are on it. And what I don't want to occur is for us to lose a billboard. And so, you know, it's an issue we're going to have to deal with in the next 6 months, like all the other issues we've got.
And
we'll deal with them,
and
we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But I need to get the contract to see what the actual current contract is and the assignability of it, or, you know, and whether a new party can step into the shoes and how it would work. And then we'll figure out funding. The first thing is figuring out what the current situation is. How much longer does it go for?
Uh-huh.
I mean, do we know that?
It's a month-to-month. What I've been told is that Caltrans wants to make all the billboards.
Absolutely.
They want to make all the billboards in California disappear. So all the billboards have been made non-transferable, whether they're held with a private company like Jones Solu or whether they're held with CBS Broadcasting. So if CBS wants to sell it to NBC, they can't. They can't sell that contract anymore. The billboard goes away at the end of that.
Okay.
So that's like the top 30 under 30 and the top 40 under 40. They all go there, and it's for destination tourism marketers, and it was about $400 to run an online ad in there. It was pretty reasonable, and it would be posted for about 30 days, and that's like the number one site in California it's the Western Association of Tourism and Conference Bureaus, where all the professionals belong. I may or may not have sent you that link, but We'll move forward with the recommendation for that and the timeline when we come back in July.
If I might just say something about the website, I mean, you could just go to GoDaddy.com, get something little, Morro Bay Bureau of Tourism Marketer, whatever. It's, you know, and upload this page. That's all it is. It's not going to cost us more than $100.
Oh, yeah. Simple. I'm wondering if you wanted just an additional page on the existing website.
Why not? Then let them check out the morrobay.org website while we're there.
I mean, then they're getting all of their... That's how we do it in our business, and a lot of businesses do it, so we can make that decision. But you're right, it would cost you $20. You know, I mean...
Just remember that, $20.
It'd be more than 20.
That would be for the domain name, and then creating the page is additional. But I would say
I think we should just house it on morrobay.org as a separate.
We should
link.
Do careers. Yeah, just like everybody.
Because
that's something that can be ongoing. If your director of tourism then, you know, wants to hire, you can have a jobs category.
Employment opportunities.
Yeah, exactly.
The end.
Right.
And just upload this. It's not very
careers.
Expensive
it's
to do it. But
Got
we
it.
Would like a bid for that.
So that'll come, the bid will go through budget? Will that go through budget? Who will that go through?
We'll send an estimate to the budget committee. Subcommittee?
It can't be that much. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so those two things, so I need a motion to accept these two to move forward with so we can start to build this program. Sir,
I move to accept the draft ad for Director of Tourism and the job description with a reporting chart and performance guidelines for the Director of Tourism.
I second that.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Unanimous. Thank you. Presentation and discussion on the transition of business-related contracts for the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau. I think we buried that one.
But I think from the questions is and what came out of that is we'll do a flow chart to try to show you exactly and what we still need to accomplish by that November deadline.
You can add the contracts that
we currently
have. Yeah, exactly.
Well, those, I'll get those to you immediately.
Right.
Okay, sorry, just writing. One thing that we did not discuss in the budget is that the budget subcommittee did drive around and we looked at possible sites. There were about five possible combinations of sites that we looked at, and then we threw in a six on Member Beeman, shot an email recommending a space on Morro Bay Boulevard. I don't know whether it's lower Morro Bay Boulevard, it's towards the old gas station. And we looked at all of those, and there were some that we ruled out immediately based on space constraints. And then there were others that were ruled out based on location. And there were some that were ruled out based on time constraints and when we needed to have this. And so we've honed down. Is that a fair assessment? We honed down to two places, and the one space that we were really interested in, we felt would be it would be difficult at best to get the greater community wrapped around us using that space for something other than what it's been traditionally used for. So the space that we're really focusing on right now is the what's the address on that? We're talking about the brown building in the parking lot. I know. But, well,
next to City Hall?
No, the building.
Oh, 714 Market Street parking lot-ish. Mm-hmm. Right, but we refer to that as the Market, the 714.
It's by Chessboard Park. Centennial
City
Park.
Facility, brown building, and a rental.
So what's intriguing about that is that there's a push to actually extend the bathroom,
reposition the downstairs for visitor service, and carve out an office out of the back. It's fairly large. The square footprint of that building is probably, I would say, 1,200 square feet anyway. You don't think so?
No.
No? 1,000?
Maybe.
Okay. It does have plumbing downstairs. I'm hesitant to call it a bathroom, but but at least there's plumbing there. It would basically have to be gutted, but it's a garage, so there's not that much to gut out of it. And that way, if the city can negotiate something to build, that we would have a in-town space visible right on the Embarcadero with accessible parking. And if the city could continue to negotiate the build-up of a visitor center next to it, with the understanding that when the visitor center, the new attachment to the restrooms that are there in Centennial Park, it would be an extension of that out towards the Embarcadero, towards the street, the building would come down at that point, after the extension is completed.
My thought was that we want to get away from being on Embarcadero. We want to be more towards the beginning of the town, when people drive in, they got a space, and there's always traffic in Embarcadero. There's not even room for normal shoppers to park there. So why would we want to put that? And second, why do you want to go something to build when we can probably have a lot of empty spaces around this town that we could just lease out?
Because that one's rent-free. So that's a consideration. And
well, but
we
you have
did
to
look at
cost
a space
of building it.
We did look at a space. We have a one-time cost. That's right. We looked at a space across from you where the old Morro Bay Realty vacation rental office.
It's
too small. It's like 650 square feet, 700 square feet.
I hate to jump in on you, but Brown Act, this isn't on the agenda. So, I mean, you can have the subcommittee report on it, but we shouldn't get into a discussion because it's not on your agenda. But I think it, what I thought we were going to do is come back with a report of all the sites that were listed added, with a plus and minuses. And remember, you know, when you say something's rent free, that hasn't been determined by the city yet. But I think what you would do out of that, if in fact the recommendation from this group is to pursue 714 Market. Then it would be for to go to the council with that recommendation so they can pursue how that would work. I mean, we do house vehicles in there. We house equipment in there. There are, you know, other issues that need to be logistically figured out if that's your recommendation.
I'd like to know what all spaces you guys looked at.
Yeah. I mean, that's we need to develop the list, because I didn't know that was what came out of that meeting, was that the subcommittee had already picked one out of the others, because none of the other ones were definitely off the table. Some of them are more long-term. We looked, for example, at the gatehouse for Dynegy. That's a little bit longer term, possibly. So, you know, we should look short term and long term and look at all of those and bring it back to you as a separate report so you can see the pros and cons of each one.
I just have a question. Are you talking about, in this just particular building, is this the one that's on the public parking lot where they put the events and rope it off, like
yes.
the music festival?
Yes.
Stuff like that?
Yes.
Okay.
That's currently upstairs, houses a city
right.
employee,
exactly.
and downstairs
okay.
houses.
Okay, so, because when you're saying Market Street, I was getting a little confused. So it's the one on
yeah.
the Embarcadero where they rope it off
mm-hmm.
and where most of the public parking is used
it's
anyway.
714 Embarcadero,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
So the public parking, and so can we do let's see, who's in charge of public parking in the city? Rob, what's his name?
Public Bill? Service, probably. I mean, we don't really have a parking division, but.
No, nobody's in charge. Yeah, because my concern about any space is how it will impact the local traffic.
Well, if the building's just downstairs is converted for a garage, it wouldn't take up any parking spaces.
No, but we would have buses, cars, parking there. There's no time limit in that parking lot. And so they'd be going to the visitor center and probably stay there. And there's times we don't have a visitor center now and that parking lot is full. So I was just curious if there's an impact study that's going to go on with all the sites.
No, we wouldn't.
Okay.
We wouldn't be doing an impact study.
Okay.
Those take
curious.
Time and staff time yeah. that we have done no often.
You know, we can probably go back to that, but there is no reason that we really have to have a organization, a big office, or so forth called a visitor center. There's a lot of places that they have kiosk, which has got access to the basically. Computer and so forth, or you can even install it in the big hotels even, and then give you access to a lot of information as far as the visitors. So maybe we should look at it a little bit different to building up a huge office and in a stuff that maybe put, in North Morro Bay site, maybe put, one in the Embarcadero, so forth, and maybe that's a way even to go that it doesn't cost as much, or even if the local businesses want them to keep small kiosks in their area, they can even we can charge them or something and have them set up.
Without getting off of where we're at, we did talk about kiosks, and it's something we can bring back in July or August. Absolutely, I agree.
And just for clarification for myself, because I wasn't here in last month's meeting, it looks like there were three new subcommittees formed, process and make recommendations for Director of Tourism, transition business-related contracts for Tourism Bureau, and then, I'm on this one, the Hotel-Motel Revitalization Program. And so maybe those need to be added into monthly reports going forward if these are some of the subcommittees.
No, but it was my understanding.
You're on one, too.
Which one was
they will be added into monthly reports, Karen. You're right, but we had to get the minutes approved first.
Okay.
So now the minutes are approved. It's all official. We'll grab them and stack them into the monthly report, shuffling up cards. And okay. So,
could regarding that, Alex and Nick and I were on a business subcommittee.
Right, and that is, I think, where we're at on the agenda.
But that's not called contracts.
they combined these two on me. There was a presentation discussion of the transition business related to, and these two got combined on the agenda.
So we are on the agenda. We can talk about this.
They got combined. We're on
transition of business.
Presentation
related?
And discussion of the transition of business. Oh. It should have been and related contracts for the Maura Tourism.
Okay, so we're on.
And that's what the subcommittee actually is.
There was a slash and
business
there,
and related in the motion also then for the subcommittee.
Okay, so we actually skipped over.
That's
it, so
why
we need to
this
go
has
back
been so
that.
Confusing.
Okay.
Sorry about the confusion.
No.
Okay, so
your business and
is there anything
related
that we need
contracts.
To add to this, or okay?
Well, you mean add to what?
The business end of it.
You mean the transition of business?
Yeah.
I thought the transition was going to get revisited. I thought that we had decided they were going to come back and that we were going to look at the transition at a later date once we got through bylaws and got through some of the basics. Then we were going to come back to a transition team. I thought that's what was discussed at the last meeting.
Don't you need the contracts guys? Or?
Yeah.
Well, we talked about all kinds of things, the CPA, and part of the CPA.
I think there's a lot of issues that we discuss. I think it's good to just all the members looks at it because it's not only just the issue of, you know, the bylaws and so forth,
sure.
But it's also related to the bylaws.
But John sent everyone an email on that, didn't you? On that, or just us two?
Realistic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So the other members didn't get a copy of that because
no.
I think that really lays out a nice outline of.
So we could ask, since you're saying that you already have it laid out, if you can send us the layout mm-hmm. and the matrix, we'll add it back to the infamous
okay.
July agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And
because along with what Alex said, I just, you know, I've noticed a lot of people, when I'm driving around Maura Bay, I can tell people that have just pulled into town, and one person's driving and the other person has their handheld device and they're not looking for the visitor center. They've got that visitor center in the palm of their hand
right now.
Right,
right.
So I'm thinking, and this discussion came up in our subcommittee, and was, do we really want to have a building set up for a visitor center where people, the trend now is going towards a handheld device versus looking for that visitor center. Where am I going to park? I get out of my car. They're already deciding what they're going to do by the time they're pulling into town. So that I think that's something else that the visitor center subcommittee should think about as well.
Well, we did look at a couple of pop-outs that we thought would be great sites for kiosks, and we can bring that back to you, too, because we talked about interactive visitor centers. So, yep. And this was an idea that came through a Cal Poly study that was done. They talked about how many people in Maura Bay were not aware of the importance of tourism. And it's something that we've discussed here previously on the board, and it could be part of that great internal local that we're doing, but it would have to be done on a shoestring budget. It's not anything where we want to go out and have these things be glossy oyster cruise videos or any of that kind of thing, but just pretty straightforward, like little mini YouTube videos that can air, little 30-second blasts that can air on AGP and be placed
on a
YouTube site.
I'd like to maybe take a little bit of our either contingency or something budget and task BCA with coming up with something that maybe we could do on a monthly insert into Bay News, that is maybe statistical-based and that people can see, statistically, financially, the benefit of tourism that's coming into the city. And that only needs to be updated statistically monthly as the new information comes forward.
What we're looking at here is kind of an internal PR campaign, and this is the basis of the place, a jumping off point to start. I think we could probably do some, take what we have with some folks and some video that we already have and string a couple of quick, beautiful things together to make a PSA for AGP. And AGP, the contract with
This one's for Andrea and probably Rob, who stepped out. But the contract with AGP does allow for public service announcements, right? Because they do have, like, the little kitty up there. Don't flush your kitty litter one.
I think they'd be thrilled to have something like that, yes.
Okay. Because we have some of that beautiful footage of the little a minute in Morro Bay and stuff like that that we could insert some, just some figures and some stats into about what tourism provides and the benefits of it. We already have the footage, is what I'm saying.
Do we have any stats on how many people watch that channel?
AGP?
Yeah.
Andrea, can you tell us the stats behind AGP?
I don't have those off the top of my head.
You don't?
My gut feeling is that a lot of people watch AGP.
AGP, do you have your own stats back there?
No, that was a no.
They stay and watch in between the meetings where they have...
Well, before the meetings, these things play.
Oh, okay.
And then they play on the repeats. Okay. And sometimes people can't see the meeting, but they catch it on a Tuesday or Saturday. Why was it Saturday? I don't know about that, but so they catch it late night when they can't sleep. So they do air.
You could probably add it to when city council meeting ends and stuff like that too, because at least most people watch that.
So I would like to see some money go towards an internal PR campaign. Showing the value and the importance of tourism to all of our local businesses. It's part of an economic development plan to get the entire city behind buying and shopping local, eating local. So I really feel that it's an important mechanism. Sherry, a couple of ads in Bay News, I'm not sure what they're going to cost. And maybe a video. Maybe you can come back to us with a small proposal.
I'm still reeling from some emotional stuff going on because of what happened with hoteliers versus economic development. Okay? So I am very much in favor of public service announcements, but I think that these need to be formed in an effort that shows that the city's together. So if you have someone from council, like Noah Schmuckler, if you have somebody from the chamber, like Chris, if you have Joan, and have some citizens all together, then that makes a statement. But for us to do it with what just we went through, it's a waste of money.
I agree with what you're saying, partly. And I envisioned when I asked for this to be brought back, I think the public service announcements on AGP are great. What I envisioned was what we talked about 6 months ago with CPC, to have Andrea out there on a commercial with a fire truck, to have... I agree with you, Jane. It needs to be uniting the whole entire community. It doesn't just need to be tourism. We want one big hat. That's why we've been asking for things to be combined, is because we want people to be working together. And I think that is going to be... It needs to come from the leaders, not just us as a board, but from everybody as well. I mean, we can pay for it.
And I was under a misunderstanding of what this campaign was going to be. I mean... The consensus building is one thing, and that's important also, but to do a campaign on consensus building, I'm not too sure about that. I thought we were trying to build public awareness of the importance of tourism.
We are. I think we do need to build public awareness of tourism, but I think we need to understand that tourism is everybody, not just our board.
I'm not saying just from our own statistics. I mean, we had... multiple reports presented today of the importance of tourism altogether, in the city budget. So I'm not talking about just statistics from, the one segment of the tourism industry.
When I originally sat in the workshops and turned to we were sitting there, it's like, why don't we have some public service announcements touting this? And the original idea was to, I think I threw out, let's have Mike Pond stand with his firefighters in front of the fire trucks and say, look,
when your neighbor collapses, 40% of us could be taken out of the picture if we didn't have tourism here. Those 40% rush up there and help your neighbor, you know, because we have tourism in this town. Or 40% of the fire truck would disappear if it weren't for tourism.
And that was my fire truck. That was the envision. Yeah.
That was the vision. But that gains a momentum, which puts us into, then people become interested. They might become interested in those statistics. All Christmas tree, everybody. So what we have to figure out here is how much money we're willing to spend on this, A, and have Sherry come back. Let's let them figure out the best way to PR this out, okay, and come back with a proposal at our July meeting. So I would look at starting. We have some money in contingency. What's our line in contingency? Can somebody tell me to get a copy? What do we have left in contingency? We have $24,000 left in contingency today. So, I mean, I think we can probably get a campaign going and a commercial, if you want a real good commercial. You know, it depends on what we want. She can bring us back a proposal that we can do this way and a proposal that has a few interchanges in it. How much money? It comes down to money.
I think, I know everybody's seen the Santa Maria kind of campaign.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what we're talking about. Well, but that's required, I think, to get also city involved.
Yeah.
Because it's, our budget is limited.
Our budget's limited.
Right, and we only can do so much, and you need to probably get city getting also involved with it and put some funding.
Nobody's going to put any funding in but us.
$700,000 cut from their budget based on next year for the closure of the Dynegy plant. So they just sat at their budget hearing and figured out ways to cut different segments of their budget to relieve that pressure.
Well, why don't we just get... why don't we get a proposal based on the Santa Maria? Because I do like that campaign a lot. But, again, it's like, you know, we love tourism dollars because look what it does for us. Because I think everybody in the city there's been negative propaganda, okay? From the top down. And I say from the top down. And I think that we all need to come together and we need to say, look, tourism dollars does this, tourism dollars does that, and helps the city because it's TOT dollars. Everybody forgets about that.
As far as the Santa Maria thing, I don't think it needs to be of the quality that you'd play on TV. So I think that would lower the budget a little bit. I mean, it's something that's YouTube quality or something that's on the PSA for the AGP. But I think, I mean, I'd be willing to throw out, say, $2,000 towards this.
I'd be looking at five. Because I don't think that $2,000 is going to get us. So some people are saying eight. I hear 10. I hear 20.
Okay. I'm starting low.
I think Sherry needs to go back and give us some numbers and figure out what it would be, exactly, because I don't want to throw around numbers not knowing what it's going to cost us to do.
I'd like to see the numbers based on, like, a tiered level. We can do this with this amount of money. We can add this for this increased amount of money, something along that line.
Something low end.
So we're talking from the ground up. You want videographers, the concept, the production.
And if we have any footage we can use, we'll use that footage. If not, then, you're certainly welcome. We're excited about you being out there, Andrea. Thank you, Andrea, for that. You're right. Thank you. So, okay, so once we have our concept nailed down, then we'll go forward with that. And that comes back to approval of additional funding for website improvements, and this was Member Beeman asked for this to be on here. She sent me a request. Jane?
The reason I have it down there is I just wanted to know about didn't we approve additional funding for the website improvements?
Yes, we did.
Okay, and how much was that?
At the last meeting, there was a $5,500 budget overage in April that was given to the budget subcommittee, and that's about where we are.
So if there was an overage, you mean cost overruns or yes. overage? Overage to me means...
Cost overruns.
So there was cost overruns. So is the website done?
The website's done. It is still being, you know, there are still people sending in updates and things that, you know, the analytics we talked about today, they're working on that. But it's, no, yeah, it's basically done.
It's done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's all I actually needed to know, I guess.
I have a question, because now that we don't have that administrator, every time that there's an adjustment made to that website, we will be charged? Is that correct?
We'll be, when we come back to you with our laundry list of what's under the contract and what's not under the contract, or the fixed fee, which should be by the end of this month, that will be determined. There, you know, we have been charging for doing updates to the website, but that came into question on the budget, so I think we'll know that in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
Is the website user-friendly, so it would be very easy for somebody else when we get a staff, or if we decide to hire somebody tomorrow just to do website updates, that it's going to be an easy transition for them just to do updates?
Extremely, yeah. extremely easy.
It's built on WordPress.
Yes.
I use WordPress. I mean, and you're talking to me, I use WordPress. So.
I'm going to be honest,
I'm not a web person.
You know, it would take probably an hour and a half of training, and they'd be good to go.
Okay.
Is there still a payment for the cost overrun that we still need to look at, or is that, or will we...
We approved the additional changes. We never technically approved the overrun. That was just an overrun. So that never, we never saw the overrun part. We just approved at the last meeting the $3,000 in changes. So the overrun has really never been brought up.
So part of the overrun was, well, it doesn't matter. The overrun is the overrun now. It's all history.
Right.
Off we go. So we have tons of future agenda items. Does anybody have anything that they would like to add?
I have a question that just, and I, it's probably totally irrelevant now, and maybe we just let it go, but the meeting I missed 2 months ago, we had asked the chamber for the economic development plan, and I know that it's already kind of said and went, and budget hearings are over and everything, but I'm still kind of curious to see their economic development plan. I don't know if anybody else is, but I've still never seen that.
There isn't one.
So
I don't think.
Is that something that we would want to see on a future agenda item ever brought back, since we had requested it several months ago?
Andrea, do you know, is the city going to actually develop a contract with the chamber for the economic development? Yes, we are.
Okay. We'll have a specific contract, and I would anticipate after that, or actually probably prior to that, they'll have a little bit more concrete idea. I'm assuming it fluctuated a little, or it will, based on the amount of money that was available. So, yes, we will have a contract for that.
I just personally am interested in that. I think it ties in with a lot of what we're doing, and I just know it was on there a couple of months ago, and I don't know if that's something that should be brought up. It may still be a couple months out, but I just don't want to see it go on the wayside.
I agree, because I think there are some areas where, you know, we could partner with them and vice versa, and be nice
exactly.
to kind of
yep.
see what we could work together on that.
And that's exactly why I'd like to see them back before us.
Stretch the buck.
That was the other thing that was on an agenda item, and I think I remember Sherry comment. We were asking about morrobay.org, and we had said something to you about destinationmorrobay.com, and you said we have that name already and all that, right?
I'm pretty sure we have destinationmorrobay.org. It may be destinationmorrobayca.org at the end.
Okay.
But we have quite a few. We've, you know, retained for you, filmmorrobay.org.